Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh sometimes. Anyway, hallelujah. It's good to laugh.
Always good to laugh.
Good to laugh. The joy
of the Lord
is my
joy.
Is my what? Strength. You play too much. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
I hope in the Lord. Now, I hope in the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Lord have mercy.
On your soul, child.
On your soul, child. Anyway, amen. Apostle Pinson's laughing at us in the chat room. I'll open up your mic, Apostle Pinson, so you can join in on the conversation if you like. But you know how these two bishop and prophetess are, just goofy. And it's all right.
That's all right.
It's all good. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is Prophetess Teresa Scott. And it is Thursday, March the 20th, 2014, the first day of spring. Hallelujah. Time to do some spring cleaning. How about you? And I'm talking about in the spirit. Amen. Who the... Gerald, was that you?
Oh, what happened?
Huh?
What happened?
Was that you with the goofy laugh? Okay. You know what? Okay, I'm not even... Good evening. What? You know what? That's that man over there in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Apostle.
Hey, Virgin Island man.
Hey, I figure if you guys are having a good time, I might as well, too.
Want to join the fun?
Join on in. Join the fun.
Good job.
Amen.
Join the fun. Might as well.
Praise
might as well get
God.
The crickets and the crickets and whatever else be over there chirping and making noise, too.
Hello. Hello. And she's stumbling around.
You know we're going to need them later on in the broadcast anyway, so.
Oh, that's right.
That's my
Why
symphony.
Not? Amen. Like to say hello
that's
to.
That's my symphony.
Huh?
They put me to sleep at night. That's my symphony.
Okay, if you can stand it, that's cool. I can't stand all that noise.
The crickets?
Yeah, that's crickets. I can't do it. It's too much.
Chirp on, crickets. Chirp on, babies.
Too much. I'm going to say good evening to everybody, to Bishop Gerald Scott.
Hey.
Okay, to our big brother, Apostle Gregory Pinson.
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, the Patriot Greg in the chat room.
Oh, God bless you, Patriot.
And there was somebody else on guest number 1621. That used to be my address to one of the foster homes I was in. The last one was 1621, but they disappeared. And then we'd like to say hello to Sister Cookie, I believe, area code 559. On the line, I'm open up your mic so you can say hi. Uh-oh, it's open.
I just wanted to say good evening.
Good evening. You beat me to it. I was coming to you, but you beat me to it. Hallelujah. So, this I'm going to do something different tonight.
Amen.
Who wants to pray? We usually have Bishop Scott praying.
Let someone else do that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who wants to pray? Apostle Pinson?
I can if you want me to.
I don't think you've ever prayed on Out of a Pure Heart, have you? Huh?
I don't think I have.
Oh, well, this will be your debut.
I've never been invited.
I never invited you? Oh, that's a shame. You've been a speaker on here, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't invited you to pray. Oh, man, I'm smacking my own hand. You know better.
Smack your face.
No. That is not funny. Where's Apostle LaShawna Simpson when I need her? Anyway.
Mm.
Would you please pray?
Yes, ma'am. I take it as an honor to come before you, the Bishop Scott, and your listening audience tonight. God bless you, Bishop. Let us look to the Lord from where our health cometh from. Father God, I give you honor and glory tonight for this ministry. I thank you, Father, that as the word goes forward tonight, people will be fed and they will be nourished. Father, I thank you in advance for the victory for prophetess. I thank you that you touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Allow it to be none of her, but yet all of you, Lord God. Allow her to decrease so that you can increase yet one more time. Lord God, let there be no hindering spirits. Let there be no distractions. Father God, we give you honor and glory tonight, for your love shall reign supreme, and we thank you in advance, as those who are in need of your word will be able to receive it this night. And it's through the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ, that I pray this prayer. Amen. Amen, amen. And amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, big brother, for that prayer. And, Bishop, I have a message for you from Patriot Gray. He said, tell the bishop to behave. This is a live show.
I salute you.
All right. I have done that. And, okay, I believe this is this Mother Pinson on the phone?
Yes, it is. Good evening.
Good evening, Mother Pinson.
How are you feeling this evening?
Blessed by the best.
Amen. Blessed by the
amen.
Best.
Amen. Amen.
How was your sister?
My sister's doing well. She's doing well with her bout in rehab. They're saying now that she'll be able to go home on the 28th of March.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yay. Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. See,
yep.
That's the kind of thing we're going to be talking about tonight. When we go through stuff, but God gets the glory.
Yeah, she says every day. She, you know, sometimes when you go through when you go through something like this, it gives you a different perspective on life.
It does. Now
every day, I thank the Lord for my being here, and that's a blessing. And I said, you're very accurate. It is God that kept you here.
Amen. So. Amen. And all those prayers that went up and everything, it was his will for her to still be here, or else she wouldn't be here.
Amen. The Bible said the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That is such a true statement.
That's right. And we have to be reminded of that sometimes because we do go through. And sometimes when we go through, we don't see the point of what, you know, what we're going through, and we get despondent and depressed and stuff. And I'm saying it because I know what I'm talking about. But God will get the glory if we allow, if we look at it from a different perspective. God can get the glory out of our lives, and other
Amen.
People can look at us and believe God for whatever it is that they're going through, that God will get the glory out of it. And it might hurt for a while. Like, we're going to read Genesis this evening. We're going to read Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read about Joseph, you know,
Amen.
How he sold him into slavery and how it just looked hopeless. He was put in prison because of a lie that Potiphar's wife told, and it just looked helpless, I mean hopeless, you know. But at
mm-hmm.
the end, you know, God came through and got the glory out of the man's life.
Amen.
And people got blessed behind it, you know. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
we have to look at it that way, and if we don't, you know, we can have some problems. People go into depression, don't. Why you let this happen, Lord? Why you doing this? Why you doing this to me, God? Why? I've asked God the same questions myself. But then you'll tell your story to somebody, and somebody will get blessed.
You'll
tell somebody, and somebody can get saved. Or somebody can just come to believe God for their own situation by you telling your story and telling them how God brought you through. That's giving God the glory, telling people how God brought you through. You know, it was rough, but God brought me through. And the same
Amen.
God that brought me through will bring you through. Then that person
Amen.
Can tell somebody else how God brought them through. And then that person can tell somebody else, and it could be a perpetual thing. You know what I mean? But we got to learn
Amen.
How to give God the glory when we're going
you
through.
Know,
you might
goes,
cry behind
goes,
the scenes, but you still
give
God the glory.
It goes back to whose report do you believe? I believe the report of the Lord.
Well, I believe the report of the Lord, but sometimes I'll be looking at these symptoms, and I'll be looking at these, and I find myself believing these symptoms, you know what I mean, until the Lord has to deal with me and show me, you know, really what's going on, and then I can be able to give him the glory. I'm just being real and telling you, you know, how sometimes, you know, it's not always, Lord, I thank you, and Lord, I, you know, sometimes I'm crying. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, what's going on? Why am I going through this? Why am I still going through this? What's the problem? But then, you know, he'll say, my husband will say something, and then I'll get to thinking and remember, you know, how God has brought me through and how when I tell people my testimony, how God gets the glory, you know.
Amen.
So remember that we're not going through this for ourselves. I know when Apostle Pinson tells a story about his leg, and
right.
how he, you know, God brought him through with all those blood clots and, you know, just
Amen.
The stuff that the doctor said, you know, well, you might as well just go home because nothing else we can do for you, whatever. You know,
right.
when he tells that story, that gives people so much energy, you know, they say, oh, well, God did that for you. And what will he do for me? You know, the
right.
same thing with my husband. When people listen to my husband's voice, they would never know that he deals with the stuff that he goes through every day. They would
right.
never know that this man lives his life in a wheelchair. They wouldn't know that this man sleeps in a hospital bed every night. In a hospital bed, not a regular bed. A hospital bed every
wow.
night. They wouldn't know the struggles that he goes through every single day. Just by listening to him teach the word of God and preach the word of God, nobody would never know that
true.
He goes through that. But when he gives his testimony, God gets the glory.
Amen.
Be like, what you go through that? They don't
know
the struggles that he has as a 62-year-old man, but he didn't get these struggles at 62 years old. He's been going through them all his life. But you can't tell. God's getting the glory out of his life, even though he has these struggles every single day. You know, there's not a moment that goes by during the day or night that he doesn't have a pain in his body. He has problems sleeping. He has pains in his body all the time. I mean, just constant stuff. But he doesn't let that deter him from what God has called him to do, and God gets the glory out of his life. Because when people realize that this man has cerebral palsy, he has severe asthma, you know, all these things that he has and has gone through, nobody would never know that. But when he tells a story, they're in awe. And they look at God, they be like, Lord, wow, this is amazing. So God is really getting the glory out of his life.
Amen.
In what he's going through. So he always says, my husband says, if God wanted me to be, what is that you say? If God wanted me to be a runner,
Carl Lewis.
He'd have made him like Carl Lewis. You know, but that wasn't God's plan for his life. And sometimes we go through things and we don't realize that. There's a plan. God has a plan. We like to blame the devil a lot of times and say the devil did this and the devil did that. But a lot of times it's not the devil. Things
mm-hmm.
happen for God to get the glory. Like my husband reminded me of the man in the Bible that was born blind. And the people asked Jesus, well, why was he born blind? Did his mother do something? Did his father do something? Did he do something? And Jesus said, no. He was born blind in order for God to get the glory.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And sometimes we don't look at it that way. Like, we want to blame the devil. The first thing, as soon as, you know, somebody gets sick, it's the devil. But if we just take time and allow God to minister to us, we will see sometimes sickness is not coming from him. It's for God to get the glory.
Amen.
So when God do that miraculous healing for you, he's going to get the glory. When people
Amen.
Know your story, like Apostle Pinson, who would be walking around with blood clots in their leg and still going to work? But
right.
he told me the story about how he even broke his leg, I was like, Lord have mercy. You know?
I know.
And then he got up and walked to work anyway and then went to work. And who does that?
Greg.
But God gets the glory. God still gets
Greg
the glory out of his life. He's still getting the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Can comment?
No, you're absolutely right about all that.
Sister Cookie?
I had a call yesterday, and my daughter I have a testimony. I had a call yesterday from my daughter-in-law in North Carolina. She's been out of work for 3 years. She's been praying for a job. She's been going for putting in job applications. But listen to this. Her husband's a minister, and they were coming home from somewhere, and she was driving the car, and she started praising the Lord, just singing and praising the Lord. When she was praising the Lord, she started to weep. And the Lord said to her, if you just follow me, I can get you to where you need to be. But she continued to praise the Lord, and she said, Mom, she said, I put in this job application at Wells Fargo. And she used to work at Wells Fargo before she married. And she said, I know. She said she went in. There was about six of them that went in, and they all did their interview. She said, but that day, that same day, they called her back. And they said, we want you to come in for an interview in the morning. She said, you want me to come in for it in the morning? And she kept hearing the Lord said, if you just follow me, just do what I say to do. She went in for the interview, and they said, we're going to do a background check. But now listen to this. She said, Mom, my credit is so messed up. I just didn't think it was going to happen. I said, but whose report do you believe? And they did the background check, and 5 days, they called her back, and they said, you got the position. You report to work on April 2nd and start training. I said, you can bypass all the bad credit work. You can bypass a lot of things. God, when he's in control, he is in control.
Amen.
And she was just elated because she hadn't been to work in 3 years. And she said, Mom, I know it was nothing but the Lord. And I said, and that's how God does. She said, that's my testimony. I had to call and tell you. What a blessing.
Amen. See, that's encouraging to me. Because I was on the phone about 5-ish, and I was talking to somebody about getting the other part to my living room set, my couch. I have the couch, but I don't have the love seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to the man about it, and was talking about my credit. I was like,
mm-hmm.
my credit's not good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, don't worry about it. Just pick out what you want, and we're going to send the information to the different banks or whatever, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get you, you know, the credit that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing I was like, well, you know, my credit or whatever, whatever, whatever. But just listening
mm-hmm.
to what you're saying and how God got the glory out of this woman's life by giving her a job despite her credit, that encourages me.
She said, Mom, my credit is just messed up. And she said, I just didn't think that I was going to. I said, but see, I said, you stay focused on the Lord. You just continue to praise him, and you give him all the honor and the glory. She said, and they called me back and said, you passed the background check, your credit and all, and you come to work on April 2nd, and you'll start training. I said, Lord, look at God. See, that's nothing but God. That's nothing but God. Nothing but God. So see where your credit could be messed up, but God will bypass all that. He doesn't look at that. He looks to where what you need to have.
He'll do it. Now it's almost 6:30, so let's everybody, do you have your Bibles?
Yep.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. And I know everybody on the phone line probably already knows the story about Joseph, but we want to read it anyway because it's good to read the Word of God. So we want to read it, and it might be a little lengthy for some, but that's okay. It's the Word of God, so we want to read the Word. Amen. Do I have any volunteers? Girl Scott, you want to read it?
Nah.
Huh? Okay, you heard me.
37?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on.
Which version are you going to be reading it from?
New American Standard.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Praise be to God. Thank you always for the opportunity to read the Word of God.
Amen.
And we're going to chapter 37 of Genesis, and this is how it reads. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. Along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zebulun, his father's wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He related it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept his saying in mind. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he said to him, "I will go." Then he said to him, "Go now and see what the welfare of your brothers about the welfare of your flock, and bring word back to me." So he went. He sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock." Then the man said, "They have moved from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dathan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dathan. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'A wild beast devoured him.' Then let us see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard this, and rescued him out of their hands and said, "Let us not take his life." Reuben further said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into the pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father." So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic and the very colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal, and as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is this for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianites, traders, passed by. So they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garments. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go?" So they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. And they set the very colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, We found this. Please examine it to see whether it is your son's tunic or not. Then he examined it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. So Joseph tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and all the daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning my son, for his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard.
Thank you, Bishop. That was a lot. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Chapter 39 of Genesis. Let me see who's on the line. Anybody else want to read? Bishop just read the whole 37. Now we want to skip over to 39 because 38 talks about Judah and Tamar. We don't want to read about that right now. But we want to read chapter 39. Joseph becomes a slave in Egypt. Anybody want to read that?
I can do it.
Okay.
Beginning at the first verse?
Yes.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. I'm reading from the King James Bible. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Pinson, for reading that. Now, what I find amazing about this is that in verse number 9, even before then, the Potiphar's wife kept going after Joseph day after day, trying to get him to sleep with her. Every day, she just kept trying to ask him, come on, sleep with me, come on, sleep with me. But Joseph, notice in verse number 9, how he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was not only concerned about his master, he was concerned about sinning against God. Now, you would think, okay, well, I guess I would think, okay, now, I didn't sleep with this woman, and, you know, I figured that if I did it, I would sin against God. And then, even after all that, I get thrown in prison. I try to honor God, and I still get thrown into prison. What is that all about? What is that all about? How many of you would complain if you call yourself honoring God and something crazy happened to you? That was a real question for real people on the line. Bishop, Cookie,
I've complained.
Benson, you already been sold into slavery because your brothers hate you, okay? You're already sold into slavery. Now, the master's wife trying to sleep with you, and you did the right thing by not doing it because you didn't want to sin against God. Now you're getting thrown in jail because you did the right thing.
Amen.
How many of y'all would be mad?
I would
be mad.
I'd be mad.
I'd be wondering about that.
I'd
be
like,
real mad.
Like, are you serious, Lord?
Right.
First, my brothers done sold me. They done threw me in a pit, sold me to slavery. I came up in here. I'm trying to do the right thing. And now I'm getting thrown into prison. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. We do that in life right now. We see some things. We say, Lord, I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm seeking your face. I'm reading my word. And every time I turn around, something's going on, something's going on, something's going on. Don't we?
Yeah.
I know
true.
I do. I don't know.
I do.
I don't know.
I know I do.
I know I have done that. But it says that God gave him favor anyway.
Amen.
And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. But if you notice that in all of this stuff that was going on, not one time do you see it recorded that Joseph complained.
Nope, he didn't complain. Mm-mm.
I don't see it recorded in here that Joseph complained. Now, Bishop, you're a scholar. If I'm wrong, show me there where it says Joseph complained.
Never did.
Okay. And that's something that we need to learn. You know,
amen.
That when our relationship with God needs to be so tight that whatever is going on, that we will learn not to complain. Because this right here, the stuff that Joseph went through, it was complaint worthy. It was something to complain about. You know, he's trying to live his life. He's trying to do right. Here it is, this woman trying to, you know, get me to sleep with her, and I didn't, and she still accused me of raping her. She still accused me of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Joseph didn't complain.
Complain.
He didn't complain. And I believe that because he didn't complain, that he was honored. God still honored him. Yes, he was in prison, but God still blessed him. He wasn't like a regular prisoner. He was over the prisoners. God gave him authority. God prospered him in that prison. So he wasn't treated like the regular prisoners, even though he was in prison. He still wasn't treated like a common prisoner. God gave him favor. in the prison. And somebody might be saying right now, well, look, I mean, come on now. I hear what you're saying, but still, I'm not Joseph. You don't have to be Joseph. You are who you are. And God is trying to teach us all a lesson to where we are right now. Don't complain. I know he's trying to teach us. This lesson is for Teresa. I don't know about if y'all think this is for you or not, but it's for me too. I'm the first partaker of this message, that we need to learn not to complain when we go through.
I probably might add just one thing. You know, sometimes we view these men and these women of the Bible as being like supernatural or super men and super women and super spiritual. And, you know, I mean, they were born of a man and a woman like you and I were. They had their foibles, their weaknesses and all that. The difference between them and us is they had faith in God. It's simple as that. It's not about, you know, that they were special in the sense of some unique quality about them that we in the 21st century do not possess. We don't possess what they had because we choose not to. We choose, just like you say, we complain instead of enduring. We complain instead of having faith in God. That God God promised him something. When he was nothing but a boy, he promised him those dreams that he dreamt, and God revealed himself in those dreams. See, he had enough faith in God to know that too much can't happen to him in terms of ending the dream, because God said he was going to be this. And he held on to that. In spite of everything, he held on to what God had revealed to him about his life. And you can't be a dead man and be a ruler over many. You can't be a dead man and have great power and position and authority. God's going to take you from this, and he believed that. And every time he was sold into slavery, but he ended up the slave of Potiphar's wife. He was a slave. He was a preferred slave. He guarded the wife of the man of the house, the head of the house. You know, I mean, he went into prison another time. 12 years he spent in prison. But he wasn't just a common prisoner. He ended up being like the captain or the overseer of the prisoners. So time and time again, God still showed him glimpses of his destiny. You're going to always rise above your circumstance, Joseph, as long as you remain faithful to me. You're going to always rise above your circumstance.
And check this out, Bishop, and that's good, the point that you brought up. He was 17 years old when his brothers put him in that pit.
Right.
He was 17.
Wow.
A grown man. He was 17 years old. Still had his life to live, his still life ahead of him, you know? 17 years old when they did that to him. As many times as I read this story, I never remember that part that he was 17 years old. Okay? So he was a slave at 17, sold into slavery at 17 years old. He had a lot to complain about. He could have had a woe is me attitude. He could have went in there, you know, with a nasty attitude. He could have went in there just all crazy. But like you said, and that's a good point, that God showed him something. God promised him something in that dream, and he held on to it. And like Patriot Greg says in the chat room, he says, complaining is a sign of lack of trust in the Lord. And then he said, God makes no distinction between persons. He's no respecter of persons. And when we complain, we do show a lack of trust in the Lord. You talked about that on your program the other night. Our hope. Where's our hope? You know, some of us say we have hope, and then some of us sound like, oh, I hope. You know, instead of, my hope is in the Lord. Oh, I hope everything's going to turn out right. But see, Joseph did have that dream. God prepared him, gave him that dream, even though he was a little arrogant. Joseph was a little arrogant. Y'all agree with that?
Oh, yes.
He was a little arrogant, and his brothers didn't like that.
Nor his father, for that matter.
Father, what you mean? We're going to bow to you. Is that what you're saying? We're going to bow to you? See, sometimes when God gives us dreams, we don't have to tell everybody what God tells us.
Amen.
Okay? If we're doing it in a braggadocious way. that we're doing in an arrogant way. Like Joseph was really, he had some arrogance about him, you know, just telling people what God told him or whatever the case is. So the brothers, they was like, yeah, this old pipsqueak right here, he thinks we're going to be bowing down to him? Is that what he's saying? And then
so.
On top of the fact that they knew that Joseph was the favorite son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they was already dealing with jealousy because he was the favorite son. All right? And the brothers didn't like that either. And daddy making him a coat of many colors, you know, that was a distinction when the daddy made you a coat of colors like that.
Remember, Joseph was the first son of the beloved of Jacob, Rachel. All the rest of them were concubines' children, Leah's children, who he couldn't even stand. And these are all her children. That's their mothers. But Rachel, the beloved one, the one that Jacob worked for what, 14 years to get, this was her son. So he was the prize of the bunch. And so they knew, I mean, children know. They knew that some of the children were Leah's, and he couldn't stand Leah. He thought she was comely. She thought she was really ugly, and he didn't want her. And so her children were always felt inferior, felt lesser than. And here comes the beautiful Rachel's son, bragging that you want to bow down to me. Even daddy going to bow down. Even mommy's going to bow down to me. It set up almost like their father Jacob. What did he do with Esau? Instead of waiting for the birthright, instead of waiting for the blessed, he steals it and schemes and connives with his mother to get the birthright and to get the blessing. Instead of waiting on God in God's time, and Jacob had to go through the same thing, persecution by his uncle, hatred by his brother Esau, all this he had to endure all of his life. Because he couldn't wait on the Lord. God has a time for everything. And all we have to do is hold out and wait on the Lord. And in his time, it'll be perfected. But I just love God. Because God, in the end, whatever he says is going to be. Even if you make it a little longer than what it should be, it's going to end up the way God said in the end.
My Lord.
Amen.
We just make, sometimes we make it a little bit longer because we get in the way.
That's right.
You know, and Abram and Sarah, they went through that craziness, right?
Mm-hmm. And Moses later on.
And wait, they didn't wait for the promise. Abraham went and God said you're going to have a son, but he went on and decided to help God.
Well, actually, Sarah said, well, I can't have no children, so I'll send my handmaiden in there to be the mommy. At least Abraham can be a daddy, even if I can't be a mommy.
Right, but God gave him the word that he was going to have a son.
From Sarah.
And Sarah laughed, and he didn't believe it. Sarah thought she was too old. She thought that, you know, if God said he's going to do something, well, this is too hard for God. He can't. I'm past childbearing age.
Well past.
You know, so God, that's funny. Like, you, for real. And we do that sometimes, too. When God says that I've called you to be such and such, or I'm going to do this for you, and because years have passed by, we want to abort what God has said because so many years have passed by. And Lord knows, this is ministering to me all the way because I know for a fact that God has said things to me. He has prophesied. He has used people to prophesy to me and tell me things. And I have said, Lord, for real, did you really say that? Because I don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening. And the Lord has reminded me through dreams recently that what he has said, he's going to bring it to pass. But see, God don't need our help. He doesn't need us to go in there and try to make something happen. If God said it, he's going to do it. We just need to get out the way and let him do it his way so that he can get the glory out of it. We want to be all up in the way. We want to help God. We think we know best, but God is God. How can we know better than him? Why do we think we know more than God? If God says it, that's what he has planned for us. That's what he wants to come to pass. Who are we to change God's plan? We helping God out? For real?
Amen.
And we're really not helping God out. We're hindering ourselves for whatever it is that God sees. Like you said earlier, Bishop Scott, God has a perfect timing for when he wants whatever he said he wants done to be done. He knows the exact timing of what he has promised us or what he has called us to do or whatever he has shown us in a dream or a vision. He knows the perfect timing when he wants this thing to come to pass. But God wants to do things for him to get the glory, not for us to get the glory. Joseph was talking all that stuff, and he was talking, you know, everybody going to be bowing down to me. You know, that pride had set in. Joseph was intending to get the glory. But if you read the rest of the story and look how it ended up, all that pride and stuff was gone.
That's right.
Joseph could have just easily, you know, stood on pride and stood on anger and stood on hate when they came at the end when they didn't have, there was a famine in their land and they had to come to him. They didn't even know it was Joseph was their brother. But he could have stood on arrogance and pride, but he didn't. And then whatever God promised him came to pass anyway. It came to pass anyway. We just got to learn how to wait on God. We got to learn how to wait on him. Yes, obstacles come. Yes, things come and get in the way. Yes, things happen to make us doubt God, but we're still supposed to trust God anyway because why? God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. If God said it,
it's going to happen.
If God said it. Now, some people be making up stuff and say God said this and God said that. But if God said it, you can believe that it's going to come to pass. You can believe that it's going to come to pass. Anybody on the line have anything to say about that before we go on?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Patience is not my strong suit. I'm a person that always wants to understand whatever's going on, all the details and all of that. Is that a way of getting in the way?
Say what you said. Say it again.
I'm the type of person that I want to know the details. I want to understand everything that's going on.
And you're not going to always understand everything that's going on.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to always understand everything that's going on. God don't show you everything all at one time most of the time. So you said patience is not your strong suit. Well, then you need to pray about that and say, Lord, you know, I really need patience. Help me to be patient in whatever it is that you're telling me, because when we become impatient, that's when we begin to mess stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
When we become impatient, that's when we begin to mess stuff up.
Now, would that be related to, because I had someone tell me that because of that, that I was being double-minded. I don't understand what that means in terms of the word.
Bishop, answer that.
What, double-mindedness?
Uh-huh.
Well, double-mindedness means that you're not certain. You're not standing on the word of God. You're wavering. You know, one minute you agree with it, one minute you're willing to stand on it, and the next minute you try to find a way out, escape hatch, in other words, where you're trying to get.
Her thing is that she doesn't sound like she don't believe God. She wants to know every detail of what God is planning for her.
But let me answer that. If that's the ultimate question, that God knows what we can handle at every step of the way of His plan. It's almost like we as parents, I mean, we tell our children certain things at certain times in their lives. I mean, I wouldn't tell my infant child or even my 1 or 2 year old, let's say, about the working of effects and all of this type of thing. It's too much for them. So you do things piecemeal. You do things as they can understand it, as they can accept it, as they can comprehend it. You give it to them as they can really do it. I mean, for example, some people have a great future, almost like with Joseph. You know, they have a great future. But sometimes we want to rush into it, and God doesn't want us to rush into it. My wife just said that God has a timeline.
See, he created us with a timeline in mind. He knows how long we're going to live, first of all, and he knows what time the thing will happen. Whatever he calls us to be, whatever he calls us to do, he knows his timeline of it all. He also knows our preparedness to do it. See, sometimes we're prepared to do some parts of it, and we're not prepared to do other parts of it. If you don't have patience, some of the things he's going to call you to do requires patience.
Yes.
So you're going to have to work on patience before he reveals that part of the plan to you. You see, I mean, you know, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Anything that God calls you to, your vocation, your purpose in life, it's going to require patience.
Yes, Lord.
Wait on the Lord. Always wait. It says wait and hope. Another passage says wait and hope. Everything's about waiting. You know, we have to tarry a while. These are all biblical admonitions unto us. Tarry a while. That means linger here a while. Don't rush into anything. A fool rushes in where angels fear to tread. We have to be patient. God has it all in control. He knows what purpose he has for your life. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us rushing him. And he doesn't need us revealing those things we can't handle.
Mm.
We can't handle certain things. Yeah. And so he guides us through life. He's a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't rush his flock. He guides them to the place they need to be.
Mm.
So God's guiding us. And we have to be patient, and patience does have something to do with trust. We have to have faith and trust in God, that God knows the plan for my life more than I do, because I don't know the plan for my life. I know what I like. I know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I would like to do. But I don't know the plan.
No.
God has to show me the plan. The things I like may not be the best things for me.
That's right. And, you know, and Patriot Greg says in the chat room, he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Just trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I like that. And just go back and read the story of Joseph, too, and read chapter 37 over again and see how God showed him. He gave him that dream.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him that dream. But Mr. Joseph, you know, went around blabbing his mouth and got arrogant with it. I believe sometimes God don't show us all of the stuff that he wants us to know all at one time because we take stuff and run with it. And then we want to do stuff before the appointed time. God has an appointed time for us to do whatever it is he has called us to do. And whatever it is that he has showed us, he has an appointed time. You just have to be patient, whether patience is your strong suit or not. You have to learn to be patient. We have to learn to be patient. We have to learn to trust the Lord that in his timing, whatever he has called us to do is going to come to pass.
We live in a microwave society, an instant meal society. Everything is an instant. I remember we used to make popcorn. When we first made it, we had to put it in the pan, the kernels in a pan, and had to wait till it all heated up. We had to wait for it to happen. Then we got the Jiffy Pop, and that still was a little wait. You had to shake that thing over the stove until it finally pops. After a few minutes, it'll be a while. But now you can get a bag of popcorn, throw in the microwave within a minute or two at the max. You have yourself a bag of popcorn.
True.
Throw something in the stove, and now you got a four-course meal. You don't have to wait for no 2, 3, 4 hours, maybe even sometime all day if you wanted to cook shad or those big fish. You had to wait all day for that fish to be edible. The bones wouldn't be enough and all that. We waited. We were able to wait. We don't wait anymore. Nothing we do is a waiting thing. Our TV now, we don't turn the dial. We push a button and it goes right to where we want it to go. Everything's so quick that our mentality now is impatience. Our mentality now, I want it now, I'm not willing to wait for it.
Wow.
And yet the best things that we have are the things we work for, the things that we wait on. But we're not willing to wait, and that's why a lot of things pass us by, because we're so much in a rush that we go past the blessing. We go past God's purpose for our lives. We want it so badly. We rush so quickly. We leave God behind.
That's good.
I remember there was a song by Lionel Harris. He said, Lord, you know, I'm so busy serving you I don't have time to be with you. I don't have time to wait and sit with you like Mary did when Christ came to visit Mary and Martha. Martha was so busy preparing the table and getting things ready and hustle and bustle and, oh, the Lord's coming, let me sweep, let me get everything together. And Mary, when he walked in, all she did was sit at his feet. And Martha rebuked Mary. He said, what are you doing? I'm working here by myself. And you sit at the master's feet. And, Christ said, he rebuked her. That's where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Sitting at my feet, she'll know what to do and when to do it. You're so busy rushing. You know, you have no time. You're rushing for my sake, but you have no time for me.
Mm-hmm. And we're the ones that's disturbed when we're impatient. We're the ones that, you know, we get all frustrated and, you know, things like that because we're not waiting on God's timing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And if you have a problem with patience, write that scripture down on your wall. Write it on your TV, you know, on a piece of paper. Paste it to wherever you frequent most, even in your Bible. Highlight that scripture and keep saying that to yourself. Lord, I trust you. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will not lean into my own understanding. If you have to say that to yourself 10, 15, 20 times a day, do that to quiet your mind.
Yeah.
To quiet your mind. Because
what happens, that's what happens. I get caught up in my own thoughts, and then I get anxious.
Right. So because the Bible says be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, we're not supposed to be anxious. We're not supposed to be. We're human. We know we go through these things, but the Lord doesn't want you to be anxious. He doesn't want you to try to figure this thing out. He wants you to trust in him and lean not unto your own understanding. See, that's why, you know, when God tells us stuff, sometimes we play it over in our head how we think it's going to be or how we think it should be instead of waiting on the Lord, waiting on him. And that's what we need to do. We need to wait on him. Just wait on him. Tell yourself, you know what? I'm not going to be impatient anymore. I rebuke that. I take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be impatient. I'm not going to do that. Mind, I speak to my mind right now, and I am trusting in the Lord, and I will not lean unto my own understanding. And you have to tell yourself that every time those thoughts come up of being impatient, you have to tell yourself that every single time. Because it's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's doing. It's not yours anyway. It's his. It's his. And then ask yourself, why do I want this thing to come about so fast? Well, what is it in me that I want this thing to come about so fast?
My own insecurities.
All right, well, then pray about your own insecurities. Tell yourself, listen, this is God's doing. I can't do anything without him anyway.
Right.
The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything without him anyway. So you train your mind. You train your mind with the word of God. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you too. Holy Spirit, look, here I am again at this place of being impatient. Help me. Lead me to the scripture that I need to meditate on right now so that I will not be impatient. This is not my work. This is the Lord's work. This is God's work. I can't do anything unless he does it through me anyway, by the Holy Spirit. We might think we can do it, but we can't. We're going to do nothing but mess it up. We don't want to jump out there before time because we don't want to mess somebody up. We don't want to go out there before time. We want to do it in God's timing. We don't want to get rebuked. We don't want to get chastised. We don't want to get in trouble for trying to do stuff in our own strength. There are a lot of people are getting in trouble because they're doing stuff in their own strength. God said this and God said that. And you can listen to my husband sometimes and he'll say, you know, somebody will prophesy over somebody and the Lord will say, I've called you to be this and I've called you to be that. And then the next day they done went and got them if God says, I called you to be a preacher or I called you to be a pastor, the next day they done jumped out there and went and got a building and start recruiting people because God said they're going to be a pastor. Now, if God don't tell you to go out there tomorrow and start doing X, Y, and Z, you need to sit down until he says go out and do X, Y, Z. But because a lot of people move in the flesh, stuff gets messed up. And God don't want us to move in the flesh. He wants us to move by his spirit, and he wants us to move in his time.
Amen.
No matter what it is, move in his time. So you got to train your mind to be obedient. Okay, the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. But you got to obey the spirit of God and not your own mind. Because our minds, I know our minds be doing stuff and saying stuff to us. And we be like, all right, I'm going to do this. No, be still and allow God to lead you. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay. All right. Anybody else on the line have anything to say? Apostle Pences?
Amen. You know, one of the things, I agree with what you and Bishop basically said, everything that you guys had shared with our sister. One of the things that we've got to understand, patience is a virtue. The Bible teaches us, peace be still. Why do we want peace to be still? So that everything can come together. When it's still, it comes together.
Amen.
You know, you don't want everything rushing, going one direction, then the next direction. Allow God just to control everything. And one of the best things that Bishop just said, you know, as parents, we don't give all the information to our children because they can't handle it.
That's right.
There's times when they cannot handle it and they don't know what to do with it. So in the chosen time, God will reveal himself in every situation. Just be still. You know, the Bible says, after you've done all that you can do, stand. And what does that mean? It's a funny thing. It just stops right there. Just stand, period. Well, God, what am I supposed to stand and do? Stand to be able to listen for the next assignment. Stand and be ready for what God is about to give you. Stand and be ready to receive. Stand. God bless you.
Amen. You understand that, Sister Cookie?
Yeah, I understand it. It's just something that's been hard for me to do at this point right now. But I am going to take your advice, and I'm going to go into the Word and just go into prayer when I get like that.
Yeah.
And ask for guidance and stay in the Word.
The scripture that I referenced to you is in Proverbs chapter 3.
Okay.
And verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Okay? And what I keep hearing over and over again is that this is God's work anyway. So you got to be still. You got to be still. It's his work anyway. It's not Cookie's work. It's God's
right.
work. Okay? So be still. Be
okay.
still and trust in the Lord. Read these scriptures and meditate on these scriptures over and over again. All right? Because it's not Cookie's work. God's going to trust you to do it, but if he can't trust you to be patient,
and he can't trust me to do what he has for me to do
right.
until I learn that.
Yeah, you got to trust God, and you got to trust his timing. You got to trust his timing because it's not your work, it's his. And this is for all of us
That's
to
true.
Hear, understand, and obey that it's God's work that he's entrusting us to do. It's his. He's the one that's given the vision. He's the one that's given the dream. He's the one that's given whatever it is he's given us. So we got to trust him and allow it to come to pass in his timing. I'm a person, I be like God, but you said, and you said, and you said, God gave me a vision years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a vision years ago. And I have doubted God, and I have tried to do things outside of his will, and it didn't come to pass. It didn't come to pass. But I still see that vision, and now God's given me dreams to remind me of what he told me years ago to prepare me for it to come to pass. But I got to do it his way. I got to do it in his timing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to pray about pride, too.
Ooh-ee.
We got to pray about pride. Why do I want this thing to come to pass so much? Why am I thinking about this and trying to figure it out so much that I'm not even giving God a chance to, you know, download in me what it is that I need to do? You know, is there pride in me, especially after reading this story tonight? Is there some pride in me that's making me want to jump the gun and go ahead and do this thing? Could be. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's not about us. It's God's vision. He planted that seed in you. He planted that dream. He planted that vision in you. It's God. So you tell yourself, I'm going to be still. I heard what the bishop said. I heard what the apostle said. I heard what the prophet has said. I'm going to be still. I'm not going to jump the gun. And watch how when it comes to pass, watch how God gets the glory. God don't get no glory when we walk in pride. He doesn't get glory when we walk in disobedience and try to go above what he has said or go before what he has said. He's not going to get the glory out of that. We're going to come out looking embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah.
So allow God to move in his timing.
Amen.
His timing, because he knows the right time that he wanted to come to pass.
Right.
Let me see what Patriot Greg says. He says, things will happen in God's time whether we're patient or not. When we're not patient, we just drive ourselves crazy. We're not driving God crazy. See, the Patriot Greg didn't say that part. I'm saying that. We're not driving God crazy. We're driving ourselves crazy when we're impatient. Okay?
That's true.
And he says, I learned to live and act in slow motion so I can see God working in my life. Then he says, when you feel impatient, you know what? He said, when you feel impatient, go bird watching. He said, as Jesus told us. Did Jesus tell us to go bird watching? He said, if God cares for the birds, how much more will he care about us? Have you ever seen an impatient bird?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen an impatient bird?
No. Mm-mm. That's good. That is good. Mm-mm.
And, you know, it's funny that as you guys are talking, I'm always looking on Facebook, and I was looking at a lady who was, she said exactly the same thing when we were talking about Sarah trying to help out God. She's not even listening to the broadcast. She was on there posting about the same thing that we were talking about. And I said, Lord, I thank you because he's talking to his people. God don't need our help.
Mm-mm.
And she was saying how if God said something to you, and he said he's going to bring XYZ to pass, he's going to bring it to pass. But he's going to bring it to pass in his time. And even though obstacles come, and even though situations come up, and it looks like, you know, God, did you really say that? Because sometimes we get to the point where we be like, God, did you really say that? Or was that my own mind that thought that? Was it my own, you know, my flesh that thought that? And we
yeah.
begin to question God because it doesn't come to pass in the timing that we think it should come to pass. So I was like, Lord, I thank you because that's confirmation for me to know that, you know, we are teaching the right thing. But it's something that we need to understand is that my husband, I think my husband said that. Somebody said patience is a virtue. Maybe it was Apostle Pinson. Patience is a virtue. You know, we need to pray about that. If we don't have patience, we need to pray about, Lord, here I am again, jumping the gun. I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me, Lord, because I'm falling short in this area. I'm falling short. And trust and believe me, he will help you. He will give you peace. The peace that passes all understanding. He will give you peace until you start thinking again, you know, going into that mode of, you know, trying to figure it out, trying to, you know, think of this and think of that. God has told me things, and I'm telling you, I have planned the whole thing in my head. And it was nothing that God wanted. The whole thing, planned the whole thing in my head and was nothing that God wanted. And when we can get to the point where we say, God, I just want to do what you want me to do, and I want to do it your way. I want to get out the way. You'll see that I'm patient. Now I know how to wait on God. Even with salvation, even when we're ministering to people about salvation, everybody's not going to hear what we say. And we get impatient sometimes with people.
True.
Oh, well, I've been reading the word to them. I've been praying for them for 5 years, and they still not saved. That's not your business. They can't come to the Father except he draw them. They can't even accept Jesus Christ, Yahshua, except God draw them. So we could be preaching to somebody for 10 years, and it looked like they're not getting it. But in God's time.
Amen.
I really had to learn that. Because I was one of them ones that, like, you know what? You don't get saved right now, you're going to hell. Wait a minute. That's who I was. Oh, hellfire and brimstone, that was it. That's what came out my mouth. But the Lord is constantly showing me in his time. I don't care how much I preach the gospel or teach the gospel. If God hasn't drawn them, they're not coming. They're not coming. Take yourself out of the equation, Teresa, because it's about by his spirit anyway, not by me. Who am I? Preach the gospel, teach the gospel, and when God's ready for them to come in, they will. Everybody's not coming in. And we'll say, well, Lord, I've been praying for so-and-so in my family, and they still on drugs, and they still out there giving their body away, and they still doing. Why? Because Satan is still their master. They haven't changed masters yet. They can't come to God except he draws them. We can't force people to be saved. We can't force people to accept Yahshua as Lord and Savior. We can't force people to do that. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Teresa don't give the increase. God gives the increase. And once we begin to understand that, we won't be condemning people to hell. First of all, we don't have heaven or hell to put people in. At the end of the day, God is the only one that knows somebody's heart anyway. You got people out here preaching and teaching the gospel is going to hell. Because their hearts ain't right. They live in a bogus life behind the scenes. And God sees that. You got people out here that people think, you know, oh, they ain't saved, they going to hell. And they be the one probably make it to heaven before some of us. It's a sad thought. But everything has to be done in God's timing.
True.
You know when that airplane disappeared? That Malaysian airplane disappeared? I thought about that thing, like, what if that was the rapture? What if Jesus came and just took people away? Like, he just came, boom. I'm just thinking, like, this is the way my mind thinks. when the flood happened back in Noah's day, only 8 people were saved. So it wouldn't be so hard for me to believe that only 230-something people got saved, you know, got raptured. That would be a sad commentary considering how many people are in the world today. But it made me pause and think, what if Yahshua came back and raptured his people and I'm still here? Oh, that's not a good thought right there. So while we busy trying to preach and teach to everybody else for them to get saved, whatever the case, we better make sure that our salvation is on point. We better make sure our hearts are right. We better make sure we're walking the way we're supposed to walk and living the way we're supposed to live.
Amen. That's good.
Question, commentary?
I have a good understanding now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because I'm tired now. Woo! But guess what? That wasn't just for you, Sister Cookie. That's for Teresa.
That's for Connie.
And for whoever else needed. See, we can't be so caught up in, oh, well, I'm teaching on Blog Talk Radio. So who are you? God sees the heart. He knows the heart. He knows the heart. We all better make sure our hearts are right. Search my heart, Lord. See if there be any wicked thing in me. See if there be any wicked thing in me. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
That's Psalm 51?
Yes, ma'am.
I say that every day.
And we all need to say that every day, because guess what? We still got these flesh bodies. But create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And even let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Whatever I'm thinking, Lord, let it be acceptable. Whatever I'm saying, Lord, let it be acceptable. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. I'm not who I used to be. All things are passed away. I've been regenerated. My mind, I have the mind of Christ now. I'm not that old person. I'm not that old person. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of him. Huh. And we got to tell ourselves that. We got to remind ourselves of that. I'm not who I used to be. Praise God. But I've been regenerated. I'm born again. I've been reborn. Reborn. I've been Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? That's a grown man asking Jesus, how can a man be born again? Can he go back in his mother's womb? Now you already know you can't get back in your mama's womb. But he asked him that. How can a man be born again? And Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And he goes on to tell him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on me should not perish but have everlasting life. But people forget about that. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. People think that you, oh, I just got to believe on him. No, you got to be regenerated. Your mind got to be renewed. Lord, renew my mind. Renew my mind day by day. Renew my mind. And as the Lord begins to renew our mind, we'll begin to see things differently. We'll begin to see, oh, wow. You look back a month from now, Sister Cookie, you'll be like, wow.
I don't look at that thing the same way I used to look at it. I am patient now. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. Gerald Bishop.
Yes, ma'am.
How old was Joseph when that dream came to pass?
When Joseph's dream came to pass?
Uh-huh.
Well, he was in jail for 12 years, and then he, I'm not certain. It's about 20 years before it all came about, because he was in jail for 12.
So then the point is that
he had the famine for 7 more, yeah, about 20 years.
God gave him the vision, but it didn't come to pass the next day.
Oh, no.
It didn't come to pass 5 years later.
Oh, no.
Come to pass. Even with Abram. Abraham, when God told him he was going to be a father of many nations, it didn't come to pass the next day. He had to wait on God. Even when him and Sarah called themselves helping God out, that wasn't the promise that God gave them. You see the hell that Sarah had to go through for trying to help out God?
Yeah.
You see what she had to go through? She went through because she put her 2 cents in it. She became impatient. Well, God said Abraham's going to have a child, but I'm past childbearing years, so let me help God out. And then she gives her concubine to her husband, who gets pregnant, and then she gets mad with the concubine, them two going at it, and then Abraham got to send the concubine away because Sarah's mad, send her away. But she caused that. God didn't tell her to do that. She caused that misery. God didn't tell her to do that. Her mind, she decided that's what she's going to do. And Abraham, falling for the okey-doke, went right along with what she suggested. Like in a garden, Adam following after Eve, caused him to get kicked out the garden. Then he had to till the ground. He didn't have to do that before. We cause stuff upon ourselves when we decide, well, I think God needs some help, so let me go on and do this. But Simpson, we are the clay, and we want to keep telling the potter what to do.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We're the clay. He made us. We didn't make him. And we constantly wanted to help God out.
He didn't ask us to help.
But you never think about it that way when you do it.
Uh-uh. No, because we all up in the flesh.
Yep.
Well, look, I've done it many times. But I had to suffer the consequences. I had to suffer the consequences of it. We don't want to think about that. We're stepping outside of the will of God, trying to do it our way. We have to suffer the consequences of making that decision. Bishop, anything you want to add? Because we were going to go on. We were going to read about Job and all that, but we don't have to do all of that. I think, you know, what was said is what needed to be said, and I think we can end it on this note.
Amen.
Too. So unless somebody else has something to say or, you know, question, comment, or whatever, because it is open forum. So if you have anything to say, go. Now will be the time. And if not, then okay, that's good. We're going to go and, you know, let my phone rest for a little while.
And then we're going to go over to Apostle Pence's broadcast over at Word on the Water. And he's not on the line anymore, and I don't have his number. Apostle, can you put your phone number in the chat room, please? Good evening to Prophetic Intercessor in the chat room. If you have a question or comment, you can feel free to call us at area code 323-693-3054. And if you have anything to add to the conversation, if you have a question or comment, you can call and press the number 1, and we will get you on the line. Apostle Pinson, your number. Okay, go ahead, Mother Pinson.
It's Word on the Water, 347-539-5401.
Amen. Can you say it one more time, please?
347-539-5401.
Amen. And that Word on the Water, it's time to pray.
It starts at 8 p.m.
Eastern time.
Yeah,
it's a half an hour from now.
Yes.
It'll be on, and it comes on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m. And then on Mondays and Tuesdays, my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, is going to be on. He comes on Mondays and Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And his number is area code 323. Say, what's your number? I can't think tonight. 323. I can't hear you. Honey, you must have your phone on mute.
I don't have it on. I don't have it by heart. You know, I don't remember them.
You don't know your number either?
Oh,
323. Oh, let me find this number here.
I know it.
We got to do better.
I don't remember those.
323-784-9639.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Thank God for you.
Okay, that's the, you know what.
That is so good.
Now, can you say it again?
323-784-9639. 9639.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you, girl. I tell you.
I have the paper on my table, and something spilled on it, and I never put it back on there yet. That's why I can't call the numbers out for y'all. Those numbers back on there because we need to be able to say these numbers when we're doing these broadcasts because we support one another, so we want to be able to do that.
And may I say something, Providence? Before you close tonight, I just want to invite you in particular to come out Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. You know, we're doing the life of Christ, and it's a complete comprehensive study of the life of Christ, and we're going through it very deliberately. We're going through it very, you know, point by point and precept by precept and dealing with him before he became flesh, right on through. We're now getting ready to go into his birth, and I invite you to be a part of that. That's 6 o'clock on Tuesday nights. And, of course, we are on Monday nights as well. I'm still wrestling with what we're going to be talking about this Monday. The last few Mondays we've been talking about love, faith, and hope. I'm teetering on forgiveness this week on Monday night, but I know for a certainty what Tuesday night will be. So we invite you. I think every Christian should want to know about Christ. I just can't see a Christian not wanting to take time to learn about the Master, the Lord, his Savior, and every aspect of him. So we've talked about his name, the origin of his name, and how it changed from Yahshua to Jesus. We talked about all of that very exact and gave you dates and times and grammatical reasons for it and all the rest of that. We talked about his humanity, his divinity. And now we're going to be talking about his birth, his life, his teachings, the major teachings, his major miracles. All of that will be talked about all the way to his second coming, to the great white throne judgment, and even his great abdication at the very end. So we really are, it's a really a comprehensive study. I'm still writing more, discovering more, the Holy Spirit revealing more to this, your humble servant. And I enjoy sharing this lesson above all others because when all is said and done, we're called Christians. And in order for us to really be called Christians for real, we need to know a little bit more about Christ. So God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to share that providence.
Amen. Apostle Pinson has left because his broadcast is at 8 o'clock.
Right.
So he left. But these broadcasts on Monday and Tuesday are very informative, very spiritual to help us on our, with our daily walk. And I would ask you that when you tune in, not only just come by yourself, but invite people to tune in to hear these teachings, to get something, you know. Sometimes we think we know stuff, but God always reveals. He always reveals something like we thought we knew this, but God always reveals. The Word of God is of no private interpretation, and we just need to be, you know, prayerful and be in the Spirit. But just like you're learning, somebody else could glean something from what's being taught. No matter how long you've been in ministry or how long you've been born again, there's always something more to learn. We're going to keep learning. We should keep learning. As long as we're here, we should continue to learn. And let me say something. Patriot Greg says, yes, you're allowed to call in and request prayer. Patriot Greg says, God only gives us one day to live at a time anyway. And he does. You know, it's one day at a time. And that's something that we need to remind ourselves, too. One day at a time. We can't do anything about tomorrow because it's not here. Yesterday's already gone. We can't do anything about tomorrow. All we can do is be worrying about today. Let today take care of itself. Amen. Prophetic intercessor. Uh-huh, you can call him for prayer. What is this? I can't know what this name is. Tupanavia? Nevea? I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sure I messed it up. But I opened up your microphone if you have anything that you would like to add to the broadcast. Any questions or comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, prophetess. My name is Tupuna. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you have a question or comment?
I would just like prayer, please, if that's okay.
Okay, and prayer for?
For guidance, security, just comfort. I'm just finding that my dreams are just knocking me around a bit.
Your dreams are knocking you around?
Yeah.
What are you being impatient with the dreams?
No, I'm finding the revelations of my dreams that God has shown me is quite some just quite sad.
Sad?
Yeah. Because the
okay,
enemy
I'm,
has
I'm
been
repeating
attacking.
What you're saying because I'm trying to make sure I'm hearing you because it seems a little distant. So that's why I'm repeating what you're saying. I want to make sure I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm just under a heavy attack at the moment.
Okay. Bishop, would you pray for our sister?
Yes, sir, you can. Certainly will. Oh, gracious Father, we ask that you will be with this dear sister there in New Zealand, Father, that you will give her a peace, that you will give her an understanding, that you will give her the patience, Lord, to hold out and hold on and not to allow her dreams to trouble her, but just to know that if you've planted something within her spirit, that if you've given her something in terms of purpose and direction, that you will take her through it all, in spite of it all. And whatever obstacles may be coming in the way of her realizing those dreams, I ask you to remove them right now in the name of your son, Yahshua. But more importantly, Lord, I ask that she will just wait, hold on, hold out until that dream is realized. You don't give us dreams. You don't give us vision. You don't give us purpose in a goal in life unless you're there to fulfill it and that we're able to fulfill it through your divine spirit. Now, Lord, go. Go across the sea, Lord. Oh, Lord, we ask that you'll go where she is right now in the name of Yahshua, that you will just touch her, Lord, that you will deliver her, Lord, that you will direct her, that you will keep her on the straight path, Let her not become discouraged. May she not become double-minded. May she not become filled with trepidation and resign herself to not the dream not happening. It's going to happen, but just like with Joseph, it's going to happen in your time. Just like with Jacob, it's going to happen in your time. Just like with Abraham, it's going to happen in your time. So, Lord, may she just wait on you. You've never failed us, and all things are possible through you. And all things are possible for her if she believes in you. And if she leans on you and depends on you and allow you to lead and guide her in that straight path. And now, Lord, we ask that you'll bless her, her family, the ministry, the destiny, all the things you've called her to be, that you will bless her all to your glory and to the blessings of others that she meets along the way. This we ask in the precious name of your Son, Yeshua, through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. I appreciate it and receive it. Thank you.
Amen. Bishop, why don't you go ahead and pray for Sister Cookie as well?
Okay. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for Sister Cookie, Lord. We thank you for her persevering every Monday and all the time she comes on the other nights there, Lord, Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. And whenever she's able to be here, she's here because there's something in her spirit that wants to connect even the more with you, wants to hear your word guiding her and directing her. Lord, let her not be filled with any doubt that you have her life already planned, that in the heavenlies, her life is already completed. Everything is already designed. Everything has already been set up for her to realize all the things she wants for her life, Lord. May she just have the patience and endurance to just wait on you, Lord. May she not rush into anything. For those who rush, Lord, find themselves getting there too soon and find themselves not knowing what to do when they finally get there. But, Lord, if we just wait on you, as others have done, that we just wait on you, depend on you, know that you are able. You gave us the vision. You gave us the dream. You blessed us for a purpose, and you're going to realize all of that as long as we keep our eyes on you, keep our hands in your hand, and not rush you and not go before you, but allow you to lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, bless Sister Cookie. I love her spirit of wanting to know more. I love her spirit of wanting to live better. I love her spirit to wanting to connect with you through your Son and through your Holy Spirit. She wants to know. She wants to live right. She longs to be all that you would have her to be, Lord. She's not satisfied where she is. She wants to be where you want her to be. But let her be patient. Let her pause for the cause. Let her know, dear Lord, that you're going to take her, that you're going to bring her, that you're going to allow her to be and to accomplish all those things, Lord, that you created her to accomplish even from the foundation of the world. Bless her. Bless her family, Lord. May they each just draw closer to you every single day of their lives. And then, Lord, when it finally becomes crystal clear, when everything is finally known to her, she'll praise you the more and give your name all the glory it so richly deserves. This we ask in the name of your Son, through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I have a praise report before we go. Now, some of you know that I've been having numbness in my right two fingers. The last two fingers on my right hand, I should say. And now I feel the numbness only in my pinky finger instead of the last two fingers, the ring finger in my pinky. I just feel it in my pinky finger now. So the numbness is going away after being numb for over a week. Praise God. So that is a praise report, at least in my opinion it is. Thank God for that because that means it's healing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So before we go, anybody else have anything to say? Question, comment? Hello. Okay. Well, Bishop has prayed, and we thank God for everyone who has joined us tonight. Thank you for New Zealand chiming in tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Cookie. Thank you, Mother Pinson. My sister Shirley's on the line. Thank you for joining us tonight. My husband, Bishop Scott, thank you for joining us and reading the word and for praying. Thank you to Patriot Greg for being in the chat room and interacting on this evening. And Apostle Pinson was here, but he had to go to get ready for his broadcast. But I really thank God for this broadcast tonight. And let us just continue to live a life so that God can get the glory out of our lives, so that people can see and believe.
Amen.
You know, God can get the glory out of their lives too. Remember that if God gives you a dream or a vision, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come to pass tomorrow. Amen. Or next week, or next month, or next year. So trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understandings. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We love you. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Saturday. Remember, we're doing the Friday broadcast every other week. So we'll be doing a Friday broadcast next week, not tomorrow. But we'll be back on Saturday, this Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, area code 323-693-3054. So if the Lord leads you, tune in on Saturday, and then Saturday after our broadcast at 8 o'clock, Apostle Pinson will be back on Word on the Water. It's time to pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. And I'm going to play this song for my husband.
Anybody ever thought back on how you made it out, all the things that were binding you?
Good night, everybody.
Bye.